Welcome to this ASI cast. I'm Mike Sainsbury, introducing this interview between ASI's Research Director Richard Marks and Jim McLeod, President and CEO of Numeris. After outlining the benefits of the PPM for both TV and radio in the Canadian market, Jim outlines the work undertaken by Numeris in assessing the impact of Voltaire, a device that stations insert into their broadcast audio chain that looks for where the codes are and tries to make them more audible. Over to you, Richard.
Okay, well, welcome, Jim, to the ASI cast. Now, you've been very much an evangelist for portable meters at the ASI over the last decade or so, and they have been successfully introduced into the Canadian market for both TV and radio. So firstly, how has the market adapted to PPM, and what have been the benefits for, firstly, television, I guess?
Well, I think the adoption has been very good. We had a bit of a rough start because the data is different, but we hear amazingly few comments these days. I think it's settled in and everybody's comfortable with the data and is using it. The advantage to television is very simple. It comes as close to capturing TV anywhere as anything possibly can, because we get the streaming, we get the in-home, we get the out-of-home. We get off the devices as long as the headphone adapter is being used, and that's been improved remarkably in PPM 360. So I think the advantage is that Canada is very close to capturing the total television experience.
And in terms of radio, obviously that's been more of a methodological shift, because TV was going from electronic to personal electronic, whereas radio is going from diaries to electronic. What's been the impact there?
Well, initially in radio, of course, it was showing significantly lower numbers, something in the order of 30%, and it took a while for the industry to adapt to that. But the revenues held, so that's the important thing. In radio, I think the advantages of PPM and having data on a regular basis far outweigh any of the issues. We report at the minute level. Unlike the U.S. that reports at quarter hours, we did that because television was reporting at the minute level. And coming out of the same panel, it would have looked kind of funny having radio reporting at quarter hours. So radio agreed with that logic and moved to minute data. And I think it's been very well adopted and very well used. We release data monthly, and the currency period is actually 13 weeks. But there's actually a very active discussion, and I think at the next board meeting we are going to approve the overnight release of radio data, which is a huge step forward.
Yeah. Is there any equivalent conversation in the US that you're aware of? I know it is still quarter hour, but are they likely to move to a more granular measurement? I know that they've kind of reformatted it to look like radio diary data, haven't they, effectively?
Well, radio and TV are separate measurement services, so there'd be much less pressure for the U.S. to move away from quarter hours. And you know, it's a huge shift in the business of radio. So I'm not sure if everything's going well, if magically I was running that service, I'm not sure I'd be pushing to be changing the currency. You know, we changed it here for what I think were valid reasons. I don't quite see those in the U.S. Of course, I don't operate there either.
Interesting. Now, there's been some media press coverage. I mean, we picked up on it via the US, of a technology called Voltaire. For those who don't know about what Voltaire is, what does it claim to do, and why is it a potential concern for measurement companies using encoding?
Well, if you go to the Voltaire website, it sells the device as a way to be sure that your station is properly encoded. And there's a lot of discussion about this format doesn't encode and that format doesn't encode. And quite frankly, we don't see any of that when we look at code counts. But still, it's believed by the customers. And if the customers believe it, it's right. So what Voltaire does is it takes the output of the encoder. It analyzes the audio in the 1 to 3 kilohertz band where the codes are. And to the extent that the energy levels are lower, it increases them on a selective basis and then reinserts that audio back into the stream and sends it on its way to the transmitter. So it has the effect of increasing the volume, both the volume, the amplitude, and the duration of the codes.
So in short, is to kind of dumb it down a bit, it's effectively it's looking for where the codes are and trying to make them more audible potentially to the devices that are picking up the codes. Is that
Exactly. It's working on the audio, and so the effect of this, when you take a look at the code counts downstream, is you end up with more codes in total, and you end up with more what we call perfect codes, which are the full 8-bit codes with all information. You end up with more 8-bit codes.
Interesting. And this is a separate piece of hardware that's put in the broadcast playout center, effectively.
Yeah, it goes into the audio chain after the encoder.
Okay. And what steps have you at Numeris taken to address any concerns there may be about whether Voltaire could influence or change the ratings?
Well, we had nine, I think about a dozen stations that installed Voltaires, and this is in early 2015. Immediately, you know, the popular wisdom is that all your numbers will go up if you have more codes, which of course is not so, because the PPM only sends back 4 codes, so it's kind of immaterial whether it drops 18 codes in the minute or whether it drops 6 codes. You know, we only get 4 codes back, the last best code in each 15 seconds. Yeah. But the stations are convinced that there's a benefit to it. They put them in. This caused a lot of trouble for the operator that had most of them. But to this day, I deeply appreciate that they stepped forward and said, here are the stations that have them, because it let us go in and look at the data. And we were very concerned about what we saw, because you were seeing differential effects. There were some stations showing fairly significant increases, some of the stations not moving at all, one of them showing a slight decrease. And of course, some of this is the normal up and down of radio, and some of it's caused by Voltaire, and there's no real way to separate them out. So the board at the June meeting, we asked the board to ask that these be taken out of service. We believe that they're contrary to the encoding agreements that we have. But of course, suing your members is not usually a very good plan. So the members cooperatively did remove the Voltaires. So there has not been any Voltaires installed in Canada since June of 2015.
And in the meantime, you presumably have been looking at reaching your own conclusions as to what the impact of Voltaire is. And I think that's one of the things you're going to be talking about at the ASI radio seminar in Venice. But obviously, you're still working through that. But what steps have you been taking to look at the data to try and work out whether Voltaire is, you know, a placebo or something that's actually influencing the ratings positively or negatively?
Well, we have not been able to look at Voltaire itself because for technical reasons it won't work in the Canadian system. They have just it won't work in all stations in the Canadian system. It'll work in some. And luckily it was ones that would work in that put them in. About 5 years ago, Nielsen introduced an enhanced code to us. We looked at it. Arbitron looked at it, now Nielsen. Kantar looked at it, and we just didn't see the need to change the encoding. So when Voltaire came along, Nielsen took this code off the shelf, did a bit more tweaking to it to make sure it could never be audible. And we were offered that, which the original code is CBET, critical band encoding technology. We call the version that is louder CBET2, and the version that has longer duration, we call it CBET3. So we were able to test those in the existing encoders, because you can in PPM have two sets of codes running simultaneously on two different layers. So we had a week of data side by side with each of those versions, and we've been able to look at it minute by minute by minute. The significance of CBET2 is it looks very much like the code pattern that Voltaire installs. And indeed, Voltaire has agreed with us on that CBET2 probably comes pretty close to what Voltaire would do. So I think for all intents and purposes, we've tested the effect of Voltaire with CBET2.
Okay, and you'll be talking us through some of those results in Venice, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, it's really quite surprising because it's not it doesn't appear to be the number of codes, and we're doing some runs today. We've got a couple of technical issues, but we're doing some runs again with the edit rules totally removed to kind of prove this point. But it appears that it's the higher percentage of merit 8 codes that the edit rules use to validate codes that are not complete. When you put more merit 8s in, you validate more incomplete codes, and that's what seems to be driving the differences in audiences. So you have a set of edit rules that was designed for a certain detection profile. When you change that detection profile and don't change the edit rules, you end up with the edit rules behaving in a manner that may not be appropriate. So it's actually the edit rules that we're focusing on right now. And yes, I'll walk through that at ASI.
Excellent stuff. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in it because there has been some coverage of it, particularly some in the US has been quite dramatic, shall we say, in terms of the rhetoric used around it. So it'll be interesting to introduce some definitive research into the debate. So we look forward to hearing that. And thanks for taking part. And we'll hand back to Mike, I think, at this
Yeah,
point.
we'll see you in a few days.
You've been listening to an ASI cast, our regular series of interviews and chats, available at the ASI website at asiconferences.com.